Welcome to the Big Box PC Game Collectors Podcast. First-person shooters became a popular game genre almost immediately upon their inception. They continue to be some of the most popular game releases to this day. On this episode, we outline a brief history of the mighty FPS.
You did have some early first-person stuff on a variety of formats. I mean, there are a lot of sort of forgotten precursors on the UK, on the more obscure UK, well, now obscure, then very popular UK computer formats. But I know we're not going to be touching on this episode. But you can kind of trace a line of descent from flick screen RPGs, which set up the premise of you are in a dungeon. There are some monsters. You are going to beat the crap out of them. But first-person shooters, the big thing there is, yeah, you're in a dungeon, or a space station, or hell, or a Nazi castle. There are some monsters. Yes, yes there are. And you're going to beat the crap out of them, except they're hitting you in real time. That immediacy was genre defining. And even though in the early ones, I mean, you couldn't even jump. The first place the jumping was introduced was in Shadowcaster, and that was on a mouse control somewhere that you had to navigate to on the screen. You started out not even being able to jump, but nonetheless, the sense of freedom you had when playing Wolf 3D or Catacomb 3D or whatever was phenomenal, and it is that urgency of there's this thing shooting at you from the end of the screen, and it's down to you, and it's down to your reflexes more than it's down to having ground your party up to the correct stats. Not that I don't love having a well-leveled party and a good combat strategy for an RPG, but it's an entirely different kind of adrenaline rush, I think.
What's interesting about Doom is it's like amongst other things, is it's this game that everyone has played. But yet the big box of the original is so rare to get, and it's almost like when you were a kid, it was almost impossible not to pirate Doom because it was just everywhere. I mean, it was like every PC and every computer lab and every high school had Doom installed on every single computer on it, you know, and it's when we were supposed to be doing our work, we were playing Doom on the local area network. I mean, there probably wasn't a computer in the United States that didn't have Doom installed on it. So it's this game that, like, everyone in the universe has played, but it's almost impossible to get the big box one.
Same with Wolfenstein, those original shareware boxes that you had to send off for, you see very rarely. I mean, the first box copy of Doom I had is the UK edition of Thy Flesh Consumed, which Joel was just showing the American version of. I suppose we've promised a history of the FPS, and if we're starting with the Wolfenstein engine, you've sort of got Catacombs, Wolf, and then Hex, and then Doom. Am I right? I'm doing this from memory. I realize I probably should have got a Wikipedia entry up here.
Would have gone Doom, and then Heretic came out after Doom, and Heretic used the same.
Doom, Heretic, then Hexen comes in there somewhere. But you started getting competition from other manufacturers. I mean, you got there are a lot of terrible, terrible Wolfenstein clones out there that lost to the world for the most part. I mean, there was a Bible themed thing where you had to herd animals or something.
Yeah, it was Super Noah's Ark 3D for Super Nintendo.
Of course you just casually know that.
There's a rumor that the company that id Software, and this, there's another, I wish John was here because he could confirm or deny this, that id Software was mad because the Super Nintendo version of Doom had all the blood taken out of it, so they licensed the game for free, the engine for free, to the Super Noah's Ark 3D guys just to make Nintendo mad. First, I don't know. It's like this weird urban legend about that game.
But it took a while before you started getting a lot of really strong third party FPSs. And this is quite a way into the history of the FPS being 1997. But I was very fond of Redneck Rampage, just because it played with a lot of your expectations of an FPS. There were chickens all over the place. It was quite mad. I honestly recall very little about the plot beyond. Well, there was plenty of shooting stuff, and the atmospherics were great, because rather than being trapped in a castle or a space station or hell, you were just wandering around. For the most part, I mean, there's a bar level, and.
But you can't, you know, we can't ignore, and it wasn't, but so I guess around the same time, I honestly don't remember what year it came out. If Joe was here, he could have talked about it, but you can't ignore this one either. Technically not a shooter, but I mean, I don't know that this game came out super around when Doom came out. I can't remember, but definitely more of an advanced engine, because it was like a little more three-dimensional, because you could go kind of down and up.
Ultima Underworld was 91.
Okay.
So it was roughly the same time as Catacomb 3D.
Really? That long ago?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Yeah,
and yeah, and you're right. It did have real time combat and everything.
I know Underworld was the precursor to it. Was the designers of Wolfenstein 3D. If I remember reading correctly, they took the idea of a first person from Underworld, and they saw it at a. I don't know if they saw a demo or what it was, and
wasn't John working for Origin with Paul Naran for a little while, or am I misremembering this completely? He mentioned something about that last time.
Yeah, he did. Because I remember being shocked. I didn't know that.
And he said he almost ended up working for Looking Glass.
Yeah, I think
Glass.
He did.
My introduction to first-person shooter was Terminator Rampage, which was interestingly released in the same year as Doom. So I played Terminator Rampage before Doom, and that really blew me away. It has so nice digital effects, explosions and stuff. It was really nice, but it was like months later or so, and I played Doom, and I forgot about everything I played before, and Terminator Rampage looked so bad besides that one. The speed of Doom, the environment, the sounds, the level of violence, and whatever. Every aspect Doom was better than everything that was done before, and that was so highly enjoyable. Not for my dad, to be honest. He doesn't like that we played that game. I have an older brother, and we played that a lot in our room when we connect our PCs together, played multiplayer, played single player. We had to, I guess it's a game we had to uninstall most of the time, because every time my dad enters the room and saw us playing the game, we had to uninstall it, and he waited until we did, but it was
not too. I didn't like it. Oh, Wolf 3D this is, or a Terminator?
Pardon me?
Is Wolf 3D or Terminator?
Which one? Which we had to
that your dad hated?
Doom.
Oh, right.
He had no such a problem with Wolfenstein, because it was like it doesn't look so real like Doom. So he had no problems with that. But first time he saw us running around with the chainsaw in Doom, that was like, okay, we don't need to play such games like this. And yeah, we had heavily to disagree, but we had to uninstall it 100 times. But as soon as he left the room, we installed it again and played. We go to bed in the evening sessions, waited like half an hour, no, and agreed on meeting again in our computer room and play a bit longer. And our dad catches us there a few times. He was not really so amused by that, let me say it that way. So we had a tough time with Doom. But again, it taught us so much, especially me. My brother was more in marketing and art. He used PC to develop, create art things. He has now a marketing company and so. But I was already into techniques and IT stuff, so network stuff, connecting PCs, that was all to me. And I learned so much due to Doom, because you had to get the PCs connected. And it was not as easy as today. Put a cable in a console and that's it. You have to done stuff back then. You have to get network drivers. You have to cable, need to plug in the right way with the adapters and stuff. The cards need to be the same. The drivers need to be the same. So most of the time it took us like 2 to 3 hours to have the PC connected to each other. And then we were so tired and playing only for half an hour, because it took us so long to get the PCs connected. so happy when we done it, and yeah, played for half an hour and so tired to say, okay, that's it, we continue tomorrow or so.
On the networking theme, I remember the first one that it wasn't a complete pain to do. I mean, I'm probably missing something. It was Quake 3 Arena, or that was the first one I really played extensively multiplayer. Although I'm not a huge fan of the arena format for FPS in general. Either in terms of Unreal Tournament.
Which game was the one that was the first to have its own server browser in it? Because I remember you had to use like GameSpy back in the old days to find servers. I don't know if Quake 3 was the one that was the first one to have that or not.
I couldn't say which was the first. I remember for me...
Apparently Star Siege Tribes, the internet informs me, which I've totally not played.
So my first person shooter I played online hours and hours was Half-Life. So when I was introduced to Half-Life, this was when we still were connected to the internet by modem, and I don't want to remember how much telephone cost I had thanks to Half-Life, because I was connected to servers in all over the world, and that cost me so much money, but it was so much fun. Half-Life was the first, I guess.
You've got the origins of the source engine and everything that came from that. It's hard to give Valve too much priority in terms of too much emphasis in terms of doing really fascinating things with FPS as a genre. I mean, if you look at everything from Left 4 Dead, which kind of took multiplayer and just did some absolutely fascinating. I mean, it really created very effective level-based multiplayer that didn't feel forced and didn't feel like it was an excuse for glorified arena. And Portal, obviously, is just again taking the mechanics of FPS and applying them in completely unexpected ways. I hear Half-Life 3 is coming out one of these days.
I guess the ultimate Doom clone, and I'm reminded of this looking at Pascal's background back there, Duke Nukem 3D was probably the most important Doom clone that came out. Of course, Quake came out, and Quake was a true 3D engine constructed out of polygons that you could wind all around. Bethesda put out Daggerfall, which was another first-person style game, not a shooter, but a
first-person stabber.
Yeah, okay. First person, but it also had a full 3D engine. There were some kind of gloriously bad Terminator games that came out of that era too, like the Future Shock game, which I think uses the same engine as Daggerfall did.
We should probably mention Looking Glass a bit more for the sake of. The System Shock and Thief games, because again you've got a more of a sort of fantasy feel type thing, whereas the first person shooter is very much defined by the shooting. I've never really found an entirely adequate way to fit in the importance of fantasy games within the FPS genre without referring to FPSs in a way that everyone immediately assumes you're talking about Call of Duty. Incidentally, Call of Duty 2 is the best game in that series, and I will hear nothing said against it. It does not get better than Call of Duty 2. Sorry. People will probably go throw things at me if I continue mentioning
actually,
that series.
I actually consider Call of Duty 2 to be a work of art, as a matter of fact.
That's Modern Warfare 2.
Oh, really? You weren't talking about this one? Because
I love it.
The original...
No,
Bought two.
This is a great game. I mean,
it's not as good as Call of Duty 2. Call of Duty 2, I know its graphics are primitive and its AI is a bit primitive by modern standards, but particularly for multiplayer, nothing really captures that World War II feel like Call of Duty 2. I mean, the weapons are perfect, the settings are perfect.
I agree to a lot of things, but not to Call of Duty, but I agree to all the other things that have been said so far. I mean, Doom introduced and changed everything we know. Duke was like the same thing with humor, besides the 3D thing, but it adds humor to a violent setting that was really lovely. I mean, the character is so 80s, but it worked so well, the phrases and so we know Duke for, this was so funny and ridiculous. And
yeah, they got the humor really right there. Cause it's hard to do crude humor and it actually be funny rather than feeling sort of like a cry for attention.
And we see with Duke Nukem Forever, it does not work today. That is, or you have to change a bit on that one because that was really a pain in the ass in a lot of ways. But continue that one. We are doing with Duke Nukem System Shock, added like a deep story to that setting. Again, it's a shooter, violent shooter, but so deep story, deep with Deus Ex and other games jumped on later. And Quake, bringing in the multiplayer environment to Quake Arena aspect, and so Half-Life, again, story was more important than shooting. I mean, the introduction of Half-Life 1 is one of the best I've ever seen. It took you, how long does it took you before you even start the game? It drove you through the whole scene and setting, introduced you in so many things, you don't know what's going on until this experiment had a bad outcome, but wonderful introduction, wonderful story for a shooter. I mean, all you want to do is shoot, but it puts you into a complex and deep story, which was really wonderful and only beaten by Half-Life 2 like 6 years later or so.
FPS started out as something which had minimal story and eventually is turned into our main storytelling medium in gaming because, you know, when you think of a game, it's usually, I mean, your choices are it's third person or it's basically an FPS. And the modern incarnations of open world narratives are very strongly linked to FPS. So you've gone from, here's Sergeant Blazkowicz, he's going to shoot shit. All the way up to the sprawling narratives of open world of Skyrim, which its shockingly disappointing main plot thread, which made me hate every NPC in that game. But anyway, it's fine. I can go and clear dungeons.
And then I want to continue the Half-Life thing. Half-Life 2 is probably still my favorite game of all time. That's another one that I would consider to be a work of art, Half-Life 2. And it introduced stuff like that we take for granted now, I think, like the idea of animated faces on characters that talk to you, you know, in the game, or stuff that was mind-blowing at the time, but because it's in every Call of Duty or Battlefield game that we come out with now, but at the time it was kind of a mind-blowing concept.
But again, that's why I have my problems with Call of Duty, not with the early ones, but with the newer ones. I don't like the development of modern shooters because, again, it's casual, it's like self-healing, it's like, so they are so playable today.
I don't think casual is a problem. There's nothing wrong with something having mass market appeal, and there's nothing wrong with something being easy to use. In a lot of ways, something being easy to play is not a problem. I think there's. You can argue more of a problem with the way modern shooters play. I mean, there was a thing that came up on Reddit about how NPC storylines, and I think one of the recent Battlefield games got cut because it made the player empathize with the enemy too much. And I think the use of warfare situations that are designed to deliberately mimic modern political situations is problematic, particularly if you're kind of doing that thing where, fuck, no, we don't want people to empathize with these NPCs. I think that, if you've got a mass market entertainment form, you know, I'd rather be shooting aliens than these soldiers who are very, very, very obvious allusions to real life conflict.
The other aspect which I really don't like is that it's so heavily scripted. I mean, you don't have 15 minutes to play a shooter. You went through five scenes which are so heavily scripted.
That's a problem.
I don't enjoy playing them anymore.
I don't think they're redesigned for the single player experience anymore. Exactly. I mean, sort of single player as a training mission for multiplayer, which is full of dicks.
Could be, yeah.
Yeah, the modern shooter is basically, like, if you look at the maps that Romero was putting out for Doom, what he was creating was like this, he'd create like a building, right, a building layout, and they would drop you in somewhere, and you could explore the building however you wanted to explore it. Nowadays, they're constructed like tunnels that kind of...
Yeah, I don't like rails. Battlefield's quite bad for that.
Like this, but you can never...
No, I agree. I think, you know, although we all have quite different problems with the modern shooter genre... Oh, Far Cry. Someone's holding a copy of a White Messiah Complex.
One of the most beautiful shooters ever created. That was one of the shooters I enjoyed sitting at the beach and watching the sun in a game or so. This was so beautiful.
You've got a very thorough world. It has complex crafting as well, which, while I personally hate crafting, I think it's nice that it's there for people who do like crafting. I do hate the plot in the Far Cry games, though, like all of them.
Yeah, but did they do the crafting in the first part? I mean, I agree. I don't like that one in the modern Far Cry games that well. But was that a huge one in the first Far Cry? I didn't really
don't know, because like I said, I could never quite get past the plot, which kind of made me want to shoot myself in the head quite early on.
How about, you know, Crysis? Crysis 1 was a game that I enjoyed immensely, even though you basically had to have a Cray supercomputer to run the damn thing.
Crysis has been ruined for me because it was our benchmarking game when we were reviewing computer hardware. And it's very pretty. It's really graphically pretty. It's really challenging. I think the first one's quite good. I think the game design gets worse as they go along. But in Crysis 3, we had to actually play the game when we were benchmarking because there was no auto player. So, well, that swamp level I can do with my eyes closed, but that's very much digressing to personal anecdotes.
It had kind of a Far Cry-ish feel to it, I remember. They were very similar, but it was a little more military.
I did like the sort of suit enhancements, and I thought Crysis took it a bit away from the we're trying for super realism thing, because I don't know, I like my games to be a form of escapism. I don't like them that realistic necessarily.
Thanks for listening to the Big Box PC Game Collectors Podcast. You can find us on Facebook. You can also watch the original video version of this podcast on our YouTube channel, which includes the show and tell segments.